This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top Chef Wrap Up. I am Haley. You can unpack your knives and stay. And I am here, as always, you know what? Not with my usual co-host, but as always in life, the person I live with, I would say we're probably codependent at this point. Ethan, hey.
Hey, sorry.
Well, you're back again so soon, eh?
I am back. I'd like to just start by apologizing to everyone that they have to listen to me for the second week in a row. It's not fair to anyone, but I'm happy to be here.
But you're a great pinch hitter. It was either this or I podcast alone, and I can only imagine that's an automatic delete for people.
You would have been great.
Oh,
I know that you low-key wanted to podcast alone just to see what that was like.
I wanted to experiment.
But no dice.
No dice. No dice today. No dice, but yay, carne seca, right?
That's right. The weird meat in the sky that I wish I could try immediately.
That's what I call you, meat in the sky.
Meat in the sky, because I'm taller than you.
You are taller than me, yeah. We're in Tucson. We are in the beautiful metropolis of Tucson.
Feel the rush.
We're already planning our next vacation to Tucson.
It's a UNESCO
gastronomy.
Yep.
Site. Yep. I do love UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
Honestly, I would low-key like to go. Actually, big key, I'd like to go to Tucson. I'd
be fine with that. For the meat in the sky.
It seems like a letdown with past Top Chef seasons and the globetrotting that we've recently started to do, especially. But hey, man, it's still good.
Tucson. I actually thought this was like a really lovely episode. I think they did a great job at highlighting some Tucson ingredients, some Tucson chefs. I can't believe we're already so close to the finale.
The season has seemed to fly by. When I think about it, it does seem forever ago that we were watching like the first few episodes, I guess. But at the same time, it feels like it's gone extremely fast.
Yeah. I mean, May is over.
I think it might be like we knew quite early on, at least had a good idea of like who some of the finalists were going to be.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Some of them are just so standout that maybe we've just been expecting to be here for so long.
I think that's probably the case. And then, you know, we're at the point where we are at our last quickfire of this season. The chefs meet at El Charo Cafe after eating some charcuterie that has been out in the sun for a while.
Yep, the oldest family-run Mexican restaurant, I think run by the same family in the same location. There was a lot of asterisks with that, but it's still cool.
It was cool. Home of the chimichanga. Have you ever eaten in a chimichanga?
I think I have. I think a local restaurant by us called Smokin' Buddha.
Oh, okay.
I think that they have, they do like largely Thai food, but I think one of their slight side roads they take is a chimichanga. I think I've had it and it's delicious.
I think we should make, I think we could make a chimichanga and be happy about it.
Yeah, I think so too.
We're going to have to try that.
I feel like chimichanga is one of those things, even if you mess up, you still have like a delicious pile of food.
Yeah, exactly. Like fried, like what, how can we make a burrito even better?
Fry it. Yep.
So the contestants were asked to create a dish featuring carne seca, which is a dried meat product. It's kind of like beef jerky, but it's all sun-dried, as has been done for many, many, many years / centuries. When I first thought about sun-roasted meat, I didn't feel the most great about it. But then I was like, they've done this for like ever. It's probably delicious. It looked delicious. And the chefs made some really delicious dishes using it.
It did look delicious hanging up there. Mm-hmm. One of the chefs was even like, is that always how you do it? Like, no, we just put it up there for Top Chef, just to mess with you guys.
Yeah, like we rented the crane because it's not just like in the sky. It was like high above the restaurant.
Yeah, I got the sense, I'm pretty sure it said the restaurant name also. I got the sense that's like the idea is that you can see it
from like anywhere in the city. It's like Christ the Redeemer, but... Like it's the carne seca, the redeemer.
Yeah, it's the water tower of Tucson. It's just this meat that you can see from anywhere. But yeah, I think that's the gimmick. Star. I think you can see it. It seems like it would get you sick. Like just, you can't leave a steak. Maybe you can leave a steak out in the sun all day and eat it and it'd be fine. But it just seems wrong. But oof, I love beef jerky, as you know.
Yeah.
You do not.
It's not that I dislike it. It's just that
you say ew when I'm eating it, so I feel like you don't.
It just gets caught in my teeth, and I don't like the feeling of that.
I thought it looked delicious, super garlicky. All the chefs were saying, and you could almost like see some garlic on it. I like the look of it.
Yeah, and I thought that all of these dishes I would order that they made for the quickfire. Sarah made a carne seca gravy over polenta with a soft egg, morels, and a blackberry salsa. I do love fruit and savory dishes, but I think the blackberry salsa just threw me off a little bit, but I could see how this would balance the rest of it perfectly.
It'd be interesting to see like if she went super sweet with the blackberry salsa. Was it almost like closer to the savory side would have been interesting?
Right. Like,
I love a soft
super
egg.
Early?
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe it would have been okay, but polenta and a soft egg sound good to me.
Yeah, you love a soft egg.
I do.
Damar made grilled avocado with carne seca vinaigrette, fried tortillas, and grilled corn. Now, this is the dish I am most likely to recreate. And by that, I mean, I'm really excited to recreate this dish this summer.
Really?
Not with carne seca vinaigrette, but I really want to do like the grilled tortilla with like a corn salsa, some, what's it called? The onions that I like? Pickled onions.
Oh, I thought I was going to say red.
I mean, not red onions, but like pickled onions and, you know, breadcrumbs or like the tortilla chips. I think they would be really delicious. And I'm kind of surprised that they didn't love this one as much.
Me too. I like the idea of the grilled avocado. I don't think I've ever had that. That sounds good. But I think just the fact that like we feel we could make this dish at home is like not boding well for Damar, because all the other ones are like, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to make that. Whereas like we could really, it just seemed a little easy. It seemed like a bit of a layup for Damar.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, Damar
has
just
been
like
a tough time, which has been sad to watch because we love Damar so much.
I think he's in his head a little bit for sure.
And I kind of wish he featured the carne seca just a little bit more other than in the vinaigrette. I think maybe even doing the carne seca like deep fried or grilled or something to add that a bit more of a texture that the judges were looking for might have been great. Forgot to mention our guest top chef judge for this episode, or in this challenge at least, was Maria from last season, whomst I deeply love and was so excited to see again.
Me too. It was nice to see her very much in her element too.
Yeah.
She clearly, I don't know, it seemed like she'd been to the Mission Garden before, and even if she hadn't, she seemed quite familiar with it. So it was cool. And like, I was like that. I like the, like, here's a local chef. They're going to take you around and show you what matters to them, which is, I just think, a cool take.
I'm really enjoying that style this season of having, like, the combo of people we know and love mixed with some local chefs that are really giving context to the season and to the area that it's in.
Yeah, mainly Dawn, but. Now we're starting to put some others too.
Buddha made an upside down tostada with carne seca, guajillo, chipotle, and queso. This is probably one of Buddha's bigger missteps this season.
Yes, I would say so.
His tortilla was a little greasy and soft. And I think if you lifted the tostada up, it wasn't like the most appetizing plate.
No, but that's kind of like what he was going for, though, right? He's like, I'm pretty sure he said, I want this to look like you dropped it on the floor, like a tostada upside down, which is, I mean, that's not going to be pretty. It's going to be much like our failed chimichanga. It's going to be a mess on a plate. All that matters is if it tastes good. It was a bit of a misstep by him. Just that tortilla tostada was just a little greasy. But other than that, I feel like he was right there.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're going to have a misstep, it's better to have it in the quick fire than in the elimination challenge.
Yeah, this is basically going to be my Buddha appreciation podcast. I will say no wrong about Buddha. Every week, I'm just like, man, I want to hang out with this guy. He's so cool.
He is very cool. I really love what he does, and you and I have had this conversation a lot while watching the season. His dishes are so interesting and so beautiful. And I think you said it the other day, but it's never style over substance with him. It's like both sides of the coin are fully realized, which is really exciting. And, you know, we watched a lot of Top Chef in the last couple six months, I mean, it's not even a thing. And so we went through like the molecular gastronomy phase of Top Chef.
And thank you, Richard Blaze.
And I don't find that stuff particularly interesting because it sometimes that feels like style for the sake of style without really caring about the food. But I don't think that's what Buddha does at all.
No, he really thinks about it. There's a purpose for everything on the plate. We'll get there. He made a snow later in the episode, which I feel like one of the judges like cursed out a few years ago. And was like, we're sick of the snow, but like
it his really
made
worked.
Sense. Yeah, we'll get there, but. Yes, we will all continue to season this podcast lightly with Buddha appreciation comments.
And Evelyn made creamy grits with guajillo, carne seca, and chayote relish. I mean, just sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah, that does sound very good. I think Evelyn's, I won't say lucky, obviously, because that's all part of the game, but like, I think she's like right in her wheelhouse here. I think it's, you know, looking good for her coming to Tucson. I can only assume she was excited about that. It's just some of the food here is like inspired by the same, you know, stuff that she is used to and cooking with and ingredients and all that. So I think she is right in her element.
But Sarah takes this one and she is getting an advantage in the elimination challenge. And our elimination challenge after a visit to Mission Gardens is to make a savory and sweet dish featuring cactus and chiltepin. So they have a couple different cactuses to use, and chiltepin is like a small pepper, I believe.
Yeah, chiltepin.
Yeah, you're right. I love this. I love being able to focus on some ingredients that are local to the area. And I think the chefs really took it to heart and didn't try to hide the ingredients at all. And I love that they had to make a savory and sweet dish. We're at the point where we're making more than one dish for a challenge, and I loved it.
I love a savory and sweet challenge. I think more challenges on Top Chef should be savory and sweet. I know that like baking is a whole other show, and there's all that whole different laneway for baking, but I do feel like if you're going to be Top Chef, you know, even they don't always bake even. Like your dessert can be, you know, not baked technically. But I think that they should have some like desserts in their wheelhouse. So I love to see it. I'm always down, especially this late in the season, for some sweet and savory dishes. And I like the context of this one. Like you have to use one of them in each, but you can choose what is what. It's like a nice, it's like defined, but also open for interpretation.
Yes. And I think we got some really fantastic dishes out of this, both on the savory and sweet side. Really didn't see it felt like the person who went home was kind of obvious because they're the only one who made a even slight misstep. It felt like there was no other path. So let us get into those dishes. Buddha made a Mission Garden Tom Yum soup with turnip wrap dumpling, calamari noodles, and prawns. I would have to say Tom Yum soup is in my top five soups.
Ooh, see, not my favorite.
It's not your favorite. You don't love like the, what is it that you don't love about Tom Yum soup?
I don't know. I don't know genuinely how to even just describe
what
flavor profile it is in there that I'm not liking. Because I like a lot of that stuff. Like, I can cross out ingredients that it's not because I know I like them in other dishes, but just something about it is just weird.
I love like a really sour soup that kind of like hits you in the back of the back of the cheeks.
What it is, although like I feel
you like
even
other
that,
sour things.
Yeah, I just something about it just it's just weird to me.
Yeah, I love it. I would absolutely order this. It was gorgeous.
It was beautiful, like presentation, and even just like he took the time to like make his plate look like a garden, which sometimes is a little meh. But and even this one, I guess it could be, you know,
a little
unnecessary, if you will.
Sure.
But it's Buddha Man, so I'm down. I love it. And it just, like, complimented it. It completed his story, and they seemed good with it.
Yeah, they absolutely adored this dish. Sarah, every time I'm expecting her to make a mistake, and she doesn't. Like, not every time. I mean, specifically in the last two episodes.
Yes. And, like, spilling ice cream on herself aside. Not that kind of mistake. Like,
yeah.
Finished presentation,
yeah.
Finished product mistake. Yeah, she's on a tear here. I think that she has like got in the right headspace at the same time that Damar has kind of like got out of the right headspace for these last two. She has like stopped overthinking things. I think maybe Damar has, although he's had some bad luck, but like started to overthink things a little bit. But Sarah's really doing well here, especially with her lamb dish.
She made a lamb with chiltepin vinaigrette. Grape salad and smoked yogurt. Kristen Kish, we love ourselves some Kristen Kish. She straight up was like, I hate lamb. And Sarah's like, oh, great. But Kristen's like, but I love this. And she's like, oh, cool, 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 cool. Yeah.
Yeah, she seemed to really like it. I think she said she's like never complimented lamb before.
Yeah, it did look great. I'm not the biggest lamb person either, but this looked so like tender and almost like saucy in a good way. And I love the idea of a grape salad.
Grape salad. Yeah, I could take your leave. But
do you like grapes? Are you a fan of grapes?
I could eat like a bag of cold grapes straight up. But just leave them out of my other food.
How do you feel about grapes in like a pasta salad or like a...
No, no good.
No.
Now, even like a grape pie, I don't think that's doing it for me.
Okay, the idea of a grape pie creeps me out for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's just now... Crush those grapes, make it into a delicious wine, and I'm there.
We are in.
But yeah, just something, grape straight up, no other way for me, thank you.
Jam.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
What's your
Welch's grape juice, maybe? The one that comes in the frozen thing?
Oh, just like...
You make it? I used to like that.
Did you ever, and I did this... Just eat it out of the container.
I don't know
like
about
the frozen grape.
I don't know about Welch's, but I'm sure.
Like whatever was on sale. That
yeah,
week.
Like with one of the delicious like juice ones. I guess.
Yeah. What was the most likely kind your parents bought of those?
This is tangential. Okay, probably Five Alive. We were big into Five Alive, and they had like peach Five Alive and stuff, which is that's good. We were a big Fruitopia family as well.
Yeah, I feel like I have visions of like the fruit punch Minute Maid cans in my life. We were also like a Fruitopia family, but just like the orange one.
Yeah, well, only red for us, reddish pinkish one, like strawberry. I can only assume blast or something.
Yeah, I gotta look up what this Fruitopia was. But I think both your parents and my parents suffered with. Like, if we ever mentioned we liked a certain thing,
yes.
We would just buy the hell out of it.
Yes, I hinted that I like Fruitopia. My parents literally bought a skid of Fruitopia. Like, I don't even know how they got it home. Like, they're not, you know, physically fit enough to lift something like that. And they brought a skid of Fruitopia home one time.
I think that's still in your basement.
You know how I know it's not? Because I drank the entire skid of Fruitopia. And I can't even drink it. It's been probably 15 years since I had Fruitopia. Because I just can't. I recently thought about getting back into it, but it's a slippery slope.
The one I always got was tangerine labeling.
Sure, sure, sure.
But my dad is, he's so sweet. And because he is a baby boomer, he was not raised in a way in which he can express love in many ways. And one of his ways is like buying me things that I said I liked one time. And so, and not that I said it one time, I did love this Fruitopia, but he would just buy it a lot. And I just got tired of it, but I don't even know if it exists anymore. I can still like smell it. Anyway, then we have Evelyn and Damar come out. Evelyn made nopal relleno with a shrimp puree, raw nopal and marigolds. I love the way she really featured the cactus, I feel like, in a way that nobody else quite did. And she made it like a stuffed relleno or a stuffed nopal, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think it was possibly the most prevalent, in this dish out of all the dishes. I thought this looked pretty tasty, honestly. I would probably like this. It was one of those, like, it looked tasty, but at the same time, like, not beautiful. But I guess that doesn't matter all that much. Because they really seemed to like it, the judges.
Yeah, and I think Evelyn is really, she's been so strong the last couple of weeks, and I can see her carrying that into the finale.
For sure. She kind of, like, got some of those lessons a few weeks ago. Not that she needed them, because she has been doing quite well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, stick to what you know, all that kind of things that the chefs come to like learn and lead on as the game goes on.
Yeah.
And I think she's just completely hitting her stride here.
Damar, he made pork shoulder glazed in chiltepin barbecue sauce, pickles with chiltepin, grilled nopales, and red bean puree. This felt very classic Damar, and I loved what he did, and I would love to try it. The judge, this just like was the obvious weakest dish out of these four. But I feel like it wasn't a bad dish at all. Like, it wasn't like an absolute train wreck.
No, I think he was right there. I think he was close. The beans didn't come through.
The beans. Yeah, he's been like overcooking a couple things.
Take my eyes, but not Mars beans.
He did not know where he was going to go with that statement.
I feel like that's just been Damar the last few weeks. It's like a part of his dish just completely falls apart somewhat last minute. And then he just scrambles to the finish line, which I think we saw here again. And yeah, I did like it. It was very Damar. He's like, I'm going Southern with like, you know, flares of chiltepin and cactus and stuff, which I thought was smart. I think the judges even commented on that and how that was like a good direction to go. It was just, he was just in the weeds late and just never really recovered.
In the weeds. Look at you using like a real restaurant term.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Buddha said it one time.
So. Buddha said something really funny. What did he say?
Oh man, I don't remember.
Damar said, I'm picking up what I'm putting down.
And he said, if I'm knocking, you better be answering, which I love.
Oh God. They're just a good hang, these four. Like, this whole season has just been like a good hang.
There has been like a ton of awesome people, but this four especially is so fun.
I'm just so satisfied with this final four. I would have been devastated to see any of them leave.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I'm devastated to see them leave, but I'm going to be devastated to see somebody win, because that means that, you know, two others don't win who I want to win. Like, it really is, I guess it's a good problem to have, but.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then we move into dessert. These were some really gorgeous desserts that I was super impressed with. Sarah made a cactus tart with Seguro flour ice cream and cactus caramel. I think maybe Sarah could have been in contention to leave with her cactus tart. The ice cream just wasn't quite cold enough, and she had gotten some hot tips, pun intended, from Buddha about the liquid nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen.
She originally spilled the custard
a lot
all over herself. I could see myself doing that.
Well, like, why? It's 2022. We can't lower the thing where you need to pour in your custard to make ice cream. Like,
or like
every,
there's no easier way to make ice cream.
Yeah, like that's got to be hip height at most.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the easier way is to use liquid nitrogen, to be fair. But I think that's just one of those things. I'm sure it takes some practice, because we've seen some people really over the years turn it into like a very like icy mess. Yeah. Or in this case, just, I think if anything, you want to err on the side that Sarah did here and have it be like a little melty, but still creamy.
Do you think it kills the flavor of things?
It's got to, right? Like anytime you like freeze, I think that happened with Buddha, actually, one of his like frozen things. Yeah. How could it not happen with like any and all other foods that you pour it into? I would love to like. I don't know if I've ever like tried anything like that. I've seen some like dishes where like they come like you know, smoking, because like it's all mixed in, and it's
gonna be like a weird... You mean like a fajita?
No, that's sizzling. No, this is, you know, but it's liquid nitrogen. Yeah. It's smoke.
Somebody, it's like a dry ice situation.
You can DM Haley and tell me what that is. Yeah. That sensation.
And then Buddha made cactus with cream cactus cake, cactus seed ice cream, and prickly pear snow. Again, this was gorgeous. I love the way the prickly pear snow looked on it. It was just this gorgeous, gorgeous fuchsia color. And I thought it was really cool that he served it on a bowl of ice to keep it really cold. I think that eventually worked into his detriment because, you know, the judges said some of the elements were too cold to enjoy.
It's a little cold. Like, try some Sensodyne, judges. it was good. I just, again, I'm always just in awe of his like creativity. Yeah. And you know what I love is like, I'm pretty sure that he called this dish like cactus with cream. He always like has something such cool. A good like story to his dish. Like even in the quickfire, his like upside down tostada, like it always has a name or like an idea. Going back to like his moon one, it had like a clever name when he made that like meringue about the moon. It's just always like thought out. It's a presentation. It's like a story in itself.
Yeah, he's really creative in a lot of different elements, and I appreciate his like attitude. He knows he's talented and he's confident in himself, but he doesn't act like he's God's gift of food, which I feel like Marcel and Marcus did, and sorry, but Richard Blaze did to a certain extent. So I just appreciate him.
He does seem super cool. He jokingly said that his friend group had quadrupled, which is great. He is just cool. He's one of those guys I feel like I would just get along with.
Yeah. All four of these people. Like,
yeah, truly all of these four. But like, I, since like episode two, have been like, oh, this Buddha dude is really doing it for
me. Yeah, you've loved Buddha since the beginning. He's just your style of person. Damar made a prickly pear cake glazed with prickly pear topped with buttermilk cheese, saguaro, and frozen mango. When they did the walkthrough, Tom, you know, he asked, like, hey, Damar, you got another dessert? And he's like, and then he told Kristen, like, hey, this guy made the best carrot cake I have ever had. And Damar's like, no. I thought this was so gorgeous. It was probably my favorite looking dessert. Please F me up with some buttermilk cheese. I need to try that.
Yeah, do we know what that is? I was going to ask you. And I waited until now to ask you if you knew what that was. Like, I can make some buttermilk.
And, yeah, I can only imagine that they, like, whatever they do to make cheese, they did it with buttermilk.
Fair, yeah. It seems reasonable. I just...
Science with hay.
I don't know why, too, but I got the sense that, like, that would have been something he made there in the kitchen. I've never seen it at your local grocers.
I mean, we live in a small town. Yeah. We can't even find Chilean adobo sauce.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the ingredients from this episode.
We can't even find grapes sometimes.
yeah. Forget Fruitopia or anything like that.
We get yogurt.
This was such a beautiful dessert from Damar. When he brought it out, Tom like whispered to himself, oh, Damar crushed it.
Because
he was so excited.
He sure did. I think Tom's
a big Damar guy. He even was just like, oh, he's done it. He's only gone and done it.
Yeah.
It was just, it was beautiful. I think it was super tasty too.
Yeah.
I think they really liked it.
And then Evelyn made a sour orange and sweet lime curd with saguaro pod meringue, prickly pear granita, basil flowers, and kins. I have to say this is my least favorite visually of these dishes.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It kind of just felt like dessert soup, but that doesn't matter because it was like all the judges thought it was just absolutely the best.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a dessert soup, but if the fixins are there, I'm in.
I used to like microwave ice cream and stir it, like not until it's like warm, but like really soft and creamy, and then like stir in chocolate syrup really hard until it was like so smooth, like basically like frosty.
Mm. Well, that's upsetting. I still let my ice cream melt. I don't think that's uncommon. I mean, it's ice cream. It melts pretty fast. You need it to microwave it, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Never been a fan of the chocolate.
Quick syrup?
Yeah.
Quick mix? Quick?
Yeah, because I knew right away that this wasn't like a delicious like chocolate syrup.
No.
I knew because we were talking about childhood.
You think my parents could
in the 90s. I knew right away that it was Nesquik or something, and yeah, never like.
No, even when we go for breakfast and you ask for a chocolate milk and they make you a Nesquik, you're like, oh.
Yeah, I don't want that.
How about strawberry milk? Did you ever like strawberry milk?
I gotta tell you.
Oh.
Fruitopia 1, strawberry milk 2 for one of my most drank things as a kid that I can no longer. I saw it in the grocery store recently.
Like a carton of strawberry milk?
Yeah,
like
yeah. The carton of strawberry milk is right there. But
I don't know if I've ever had the cart.
I just don't think I could. To be fair, I don't think I have either, but I just don't think I could do it.
Oh,
eat a lot of strawberry cream cheese in my day, too.
What?
I don't know why.
Like on a bagel or straight
bagel.
Up?
Bagel.
What were you telling me was like one of your favorite like snacks?
I was telling you in the privacy of our own
home oh my God.
That I used to like fill a bowl with balsamic with vinegar and then cut up cucumber into
yeah.
it.
Well, that's delicious.
Yeah, well, like just dunk the cucumber, man. Like
you didn't eat it like soup.
Yeah, like I ate it like soup.
That's fair.
Which, oof.
You love making things that aren't soup into soup.
I guess.
Like rice.
Yes, I also have told you in good faith that I used to put a lot of soy sauce on my rice to the point of it being soupy, which is so bad for you, but
yeah,
so good.
Amazing how you're still like alive.
Still going.
You don't have like crazy cholesterol.
That we know of.
That's fair. We haven't really talked. I mean, I've talked about like the weird things I've eaten on this podcast. You just don't listen to the podcast now.
Well, I'm sure we've also talked about it now. Or you save those details just for the podcast.
Just for the podcast.
I'll have to.
What, you think I'm giving you my best takes?
Yeah, no. You're always so quiet when we watch Top Chef.
Is that true?
No.
Rude. Yeah, so Four Dishes, they came out. I think this was probably a really, really tough judges table.
If anybody had dropped the ball ever so slightly on dessert,
yeah,
I think we would have had like a real like close race here.
Sure.
It was just that Damar was like the only real negative, albeit slight, in the savory dish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once everybody did a very much passable job on dessert, I think it was pretty.
I think so too. And it was tough to lose Damar because I really love him and I think he's fantastic. It's clear that his fellow contestants adored him. It's clear that the judges adored him. Like how often does Tom stand up to like, like I'm surprised he didn't like give him a sweet kiss on the mouth.
Yeah, he wanted to. He wanted to do the whole like European.
Yeah. And Padma, like, we know she's crushed. We didn't really see, like, a close-up of her being crushed, but we know she's crushed.
Yeah, I think I think Tom is, like, a big Damar guy, but I think Padma, very much like us, would have been crushed to see anybody go.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, we lose Damar here. Evelyn wins this challenge. She's going straight to the finale.
Were you surprised that Evelyn won at all?
A little bit, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, but I guess looking back on it and thinking about what the judges said, like Sarah made such a fantastic dish for her first dish, but they, as much as they liked her dessert, they weren't like this. Yeah. Star. And then that Buddha kind of faced that too. Like he did really well in the savory, but not like perfect in the sweet. And I think Evelyn did the average best, I guess.
Yeah. I wasn't like
blown away.
Oh, well, no, I think it was a very, like, deserved win. I
meant blown away by her, like, dishes.
Yeah, like, not, I guess. I mean, not really even. I think they were really good dishes. I don't know why. I just, like, wasn't really expecting her to win. And when she won, I was like, oh. And then, like I said, thinking back on it, it's like, yeah, no, like, she probably had the best two, like, most consistent dishes. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't know why. I just thought it was going to be, like.
I thought it was maybe going to be Sarah's because they all loved her savory dish so much. They said, like, this is one of the best dishes. Like, Tom, I even said, like, I would expect to find this in a 3-star Michelin restaurant.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I was just surprised, but I don't really know why. I just noticed that my heart rate had slightly gone up. I was surprised.
Yeah, and we lose Damar, which is really tough. Going into the finale with three people. Hopefully we get the full three meals. I don't have anything to lead me to believe otherwise, obviously. Yeah.
Are we getting past contestants as sous chefs, do we think? I feel like I didn't see
like
anything.
Past from this season.
Yeah, from this, like,
I would think. I feel like they always have somebody.
I don't know, I feel like I didn't see that in the
preview,
but I might just not have been watching.
No, then they might not, just cause, like, it might just not really be that important to the storyline.
We're staying in Tucson?
Yeah, we're staying in Tucson.
It's not going to be like, cook something.
I don't think so.
Like, anything at all involved with Tucson,
just cook the best meal of your life.
Yeah, I like that the best.
And I think I love that we're going to get three completely different menus, and I'm so excited about what we're going to get from each person.
Yes, I think we're looking at quite different dishes.
It's going to be, like, hard to judge because they're going to be so different.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely going to be very varied. But, you know, they're all going to have, like, exceptional backstories and reasons for cooking this, like most do in the final. I think it's going to be really interesting.
And Buddha said, like, he's got a lot in his arsenal that he hasn't brought out yet.
Of course he does.
What, like, I don't even know what to expect because everything he does is so unexpected.
Yes, I just genuinely feel like, with all the respect to everybody else, he has just been, like, one of the most fun, I think, like, throughout time of Top Chef. I think he's, like, easily in my top three.
Wow.
As far, maybe not as, like, absolute, like, favorite to watch necessarily, although let's be real,
he's pretty, like, but interesting just, enough television.
Yeah, but just, like, as far as, like, I think Michael Voltaggio is one of my, like, top ever, like, creative, just, like, I'm always wowed by, like, where he goes, because, like, sometimes I'm like, I would make this dish, and they make something, like, almost similar. I find that's never the case with Buddha.
Sure.
And I feel like that isn't always super common on the show, and I just think he's so creative.
Yeah,
but I think
is he a rooting interest here?
I think it's quite clearly. But again, Sarah wins. I'll be pretty excited actually, because like she's had such a rocky road.
I was
going
to ask you, like, if Sarah wins, do you find this a satisfying season?
Yeah, that's tough. Like, I get both sides. I personally am fine with it because I find her so likable. And
are you more fine in a situation like this where she comes back than say? Remember when Chris from Survivor came back after being voted out, like, third and won the season?
Chris.
Exactly.
Chris from Survivor.
I don't even remember what season it was. Maybe Ghost. No, it could have been Ghost Island. Chris.
Yeah, Survivor, I feel like she's been back in the game long enough.
This guy.
That.
Do you remember him? Do you remember him winning Survivor?
I mean, I feel like I remember him, but I wouldn't have ever pulled out that memory unless you had provoked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's come back, like, early enough that, like, she has earned her way. Like, there's been quite a bit of time for her to go home again. And
she was, like, participating in hard activities to get that.
Yes. Eating just rice, just, like, on Survivor. Sleeping in the sand.
Well, on Survivor, they, like, it's better for them because you're, like, hanging out with the jury the entire time. Like, you're not, I mean, I guess you're kind of hanging out with Tom. So maybe it is.
Yeah, no, I think, like, she had to fight really hard to stay in it. And she got back in it, and she's fought hard since then. I think that would be, I would be fine with it. I know that there would be some outrage out there. And I think that's fair, if you are outraged by it, because, but if that's the game.
That's the game.
Yeah, if that's the game, then whatever.
And of course, I'd be thrilled with an Evelyn win. Like, truly, any of these three people, if they win, I'm really happy. I'm also pretty sure that all three of these people are on my fantasy team, so wow. I've already won.
Just crushed it.
Yeah.
What do you win? Car? 10,000?
Glory.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah. 10,000? You think we're getting $10,000 from this podcast?
I would be... No. I would also largely be happy with an Evelyn win. I always think of, like, if this person wins, like, are they going to be a really good champion for the show?
Yeah.
And, like, are they going to be happy to go... So it's not always the case. Like, are they going to be happy to go to future events, like, as a Top Chef, are they going to be on next season as, you know, season 19 winner? And I think all of them, but I think Evelyn would just love doing that kind of thing. I think she'd be such a good person to do that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so I'm really excited about this finale because I feel like we can't go wrong here. And I've been having a great time this season. It's just it's really warmed my heart. I really love what they've done with the place.
Me too. I think they've made a lot of good choices for just like how the season worked and the cast and what to show of the cast. I've also been quite chuffed with this season.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to know what else you were chuffed with this week. What did we eat? What good things did we eat? It's hard. It's hard when, okay, it's first of all hard when you're on the podcast and we get this section because we've only eaten the same things. It's even harder when we're the only people here because we've absolutely eaten the same things.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, we've had, luckily for the listeners, a pretty unhealthy week. A lot of takeout. Delicious, delicious takeout.
We've gotten on like a bad role of like we do groceries like every 3 weeks and we should be doing groceries every 2 weeks.
Yeah, every like 10 days we should be.
Yeah, I'm just getting like veg, and I think we've been pretty good at grocery shopping within the last year of getting a lot of veg. I think you and I have done a great job at having some meals where we're not reliant on meat at all, and I've been enjoying that a lot.
Me too.
So what did we even eat? Let's see.
Late last week, we went out to the local craft brewery here.
Mm.
We had a delicious bacon cheeseburger with the best fries a 30-mile radius.
They're so good.
To us. And a Nashville hot chicken that was so hot.
We're such babies
that we were like
crying, sputtering.
And like my beer was doing no good to
cool
the mouth. But it came with bread, so we were rubbing this piece of bread on our tongue, but so good.
And it was really good, and we both looked at each other, and we're like, that was delicious. We are never getting it again.
No.
So that was delicious. I also made blueberry scones this week.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed those.
Scones?
Scone or scone?
I say scone. I say scone.
Yeah, well, we're not
Somebody good. At my work was like, is that a scone?
You made falafel this week.
Ooh, yes. It was delicious. And we only had like mini naans.
Yeah.
So I essentially just made like mini naan pizzas with mine, with tzatziki and whatnot. It was delicious.
Your mother made pulled pork. We enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was, it wasn't my favorite pulled pork. To be fair, I don't think my mom made it. I almost got the sense that it was like some type of prepared pulled pork of some kind. I don't know why. I just got that sense. Not my favorite.
You made little naan pizzas. I love those.
Yes.
Those are great.
Separate from the falafel, we made genuine, with pepperoni, little naan
pizzas.
Well,
you made, like, sun-dried tomato ones, which were great. We also went out, we went out for a lunch at this local restaurant called The Pie Guys. They have, like, a great little lunch menu. I had a brie, caramelized onion, and pear flatbread with chicken. You had a roast beef grilled cheese with pasta salad. I'm really into pasta salad recently. You made a pasta salad tonight, and I had a great time eating it.
I also love a good pasta salad. And then last night,
we got Little Caesars.
We're
not picky.
Driving home, I got $12 in my pocket. What are we going to get for dinner?
Little Caesars.
Little Caesars. Always ask them for crazy crust because they put that sweet, sweet garlicky goodness all over your pizza, just like the crazy bread. The best.
They have really great pepperoni too. So crispy.
Yeah. And it's like super flavorful when you get one of those. Oof, it was good. And man, shout out to their saucier, Little Caesars, because I chose
the barbecue ranch.
And I was like, yeah, make it too. Yeah. And honestly, I woke up thinking about that sauce.
Really? I was worried you were going to regret it because you're usually like a creamy garlic guy.
I know. But it was already so garlicky that I was let's go in a different direction. And it was so good.
Did we drive in my car? Oh, I was going to say, did your car still smell like Little Caesars this morning?
No, I wish.
Yeah. It was delicious. We enjoyed it. It lasted like 3 meals. Like, what more can you ask for?
Yep. I had a nutritious meal during a golf tournament today.
Yeah.
Delicious turkey sandwich. Lots of fruit and veg as an accompaniment, which is nice. You don't always get that out on the course. So that was good.
I asked you this, not last night, but probably the night before, just as you were about to fall asleep. I asked what your favorite sandwich is.
So vague.
Is it that vague? Like,
do I just name a genre? Like, it's a burger.
No, like I love a BLT. Like, I know I'm always going to enjoy, like, a clubhouse sandwich.
I can't commit.
You can't commit. Oh, I forgot. So. I had a really great chicken parm sandwich yesterday, too.
Oh, yes.
We did get a lot, too.
Yeah, I had an omelet because we went at that weird time of day where you can get breakfast and lunch.
And I always get lunch.
I always get breakfast.
God, it was like the best chicken parm sandwich I've ever had.
Yeah, I don't know what my best sandwich is. I'm just having a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah, like probably like a clubhouse sandwich or like a ham and Swiss.
Are you deciding for me or this is yours?
No, this is me.
Well.
If you're not going to pick a sandwich, I'm not going to pick a sandwich for you.
Yeah, well, so you've named like 3 sandwiches.
Well, not half. Like, if I ask you what your favorite animal is, I don't mean, like, I don't need you.
You asked me that the other day.
I know.
And I didn't know.
No, you just, like, shut down emotionally.
I was like, at least narrow it down to, like,
what's your favorite? Oh, I'm sorry.
Mammal.
What's your favorite woodland animal?
Yeah, like, it's obviously a woodlouse.
No, it's not. You don't even know what a woodlouse is.
I think we call them potato bugs, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they're like those little guys.
You don't like them.
No.
There's some in our basement. You're always creeped out by them.
I just, like, saying woodlouse. Yeah. I always think it's a mouse.
Yeah.
Because
it rhymes with mouse.
Yeah, I have a question that I'm sure you talk about literally every year. But I don't always hear the podcast.
What do you mean you don't always hear the podcast?
Due purely to connectivity issues.
Oh, sure.
So I don't get that channel.
The channel that you download on your phone?
What would be your final meal?
Oh, like, my final meal.
Not like before the electric chair. Like if you were on Top Chef.
Yeah, like what would I
cook? Yeah, what's your like final cook?
I think I'm going like a soup in the first round. Like a veg heavy soup, maybe like a spring pea or like a corn and like peach or something like that. And then a fish, like I'd probably do some sort of like Diablo shrimp, like really spicy shrimp, like veg. Meat, I think I'm gonna go like probably pretty classic with like a steak, probably more shrimp, throw more shrimp on there.
Okay.
You know, like, I really enjoyed, we used to go to a restaurant and get, I used to get this like Chipotle steak with like, that would come with like a lob of goat cheese.
Well, that sounds good.
So I'd probably copy that. And for dessert.
I can't wait to hear what your shrimp based dessert is.
And then I'm not really like great at making cakes, but I'm not bad at desserts in general. So I don't know, like probably something like a savory dessert, like maybe like a strawberry shortcake, but like a peach shortcake, like maybe like bookend my meals with peaches or like have peach throughout the whole meal. Like I'd probably like to do like a theme where I'm like carrying. Oh, okay.
I love a good theme throughout the meal.
Yeah. So maybe I'm going back. The shrimp, my shrimp dish is going to be like a shrimp and peach ceviche. Oof. And then have like a steak with like a peach barbecue sauce or something like
that. That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
Very Niagara. We grow peaches here.
Yeah, I love peaches. I mean, actually, I'm more of a nectarine girly, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
I have trouble with that texture of the outside of a peach.
I know. And that's just, why like, I go for nectarines.
I know. And you know what? It basically steers me clear of all stone fruit. I'm just
stone fruit hater.
And then I eat one. I'm like, oh, it's delicious. Good. But like the thought of in a peach pie, like
yeah, I don't I'm never going to grab a peach and eat it because it's so much effort. I do love a nectarine.
Yeah, I just, not big on that. Not bashing your final meal, though. I think it sounds delicious.
Thank you.
The peach barbecue sauce, I think I would love.
Yeah. I think we should actually try and do that this summer. I have a lot of ideas for stuff I'd like to try this summer, whether I actually do it or not. Like, I have a lot of big veg ideas that I'd like to do this summer that I'm really excited about. The grilled avocado being one of them. What would feature on your final meal?
I don't know. As soon as I asked.
Okay, cool.
As
soon as, yeah, just set me up for
today. Yeah, as soon as I asked that, I was like, oh, she's going to ask me.
Yeah, because this is a podcast.
Yeah.
It's a conversation.
Forgot. So, yeah, I just like, it's hard to separate like what I think is delicious and what I think is like the best meal to put forward. Like, do you think the chefs, like, do you think this is like their favorite food that they make in the final, or just like what they know they can make
super well? I think it's stuff that they love to do. And I think that's what I really enjoy seeing is like, and I think we're going to see from someone like Evelyn is like food that they really love to make and probably love eating.
Yeah. Cause I think just like a delicious piece of like braised beef or something as like my, but like that's so boring. It's just that I'm boring, and like that's what I think.
And we're also like not top chefs.
Yeah, when I think of going out to a fancy meal, it's like I'm gonna get a nice braised.
Okay, like what's your favorite thing to order at a restaurant then?
I mean, I do like braised beef, but you know what? I'm not even like a huge red meat person per se.
Yeah, but you love a short rib. Like if you see short ribs,
yeah, I do love a short rib. Honestly, I love chicken, but you always get that like when there's a bunch of delicious options and you tell the server that you'd like the chicken, they're always like, okay, bud.
But it's not like when you're ordering like chicken fingers at like a good restaurant.
No, I honestly love like a good chicken. Yeah, I don't know like what gets me jazzed when I see it on a menu. Just something different. Oh, I love pork belly.
Yeah.
I do love a good like glazed pork belly. I love glazed things. Mm-hmm. I really like Asian inspired food, like that type of like glazing and sweetness and sour, not tom yum, but
yeah,
other
but you
than
like
that,
a lot, like you like the spice, the sweet, the sour, like
yeah,
the salt, and having that nice balance,
guess that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so I'll just sprinkle all of those ideas into my final meal.
Yeah, and I think pork belly would be like a great like main
for meal. Maybe like a that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all you got.
And then dessert. See, tough again, because like I feel like there's desserts that I can make super well.
What about like a sticky toffee pudding? Like it's a dessert you can make super well and a dessert you love.
That's true. I'd have to put some flair on it. Like,
sure.
It couldn't just be, but yes. Ooh,
like a brandy whipped cream or something like that.
I just discovered what a sticky toffee pudding is really this year.
And you're
I've
really
made
good
it
at
like
them.
Four times.
Yeah, you're really good at them.
Yeah, it's delicious.
My mom loves when you make them.
Yeah, which is total bonus for making them because I score.
I was not sure where you're going when you started with bone.
That's a bone-tastic. What do you think it was making?
I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
Okay.
Anyway, anything else about this episode?
No, I think that's tough to see tomorrow. I think
I can't wait to see him on Top Chef All Stars 3.
Big time. I think he'll be back. Padma probably just saved his number.
Yeah, for sure.
For her easy access
in
the future.
Do you think we're ever going to get a Top Chef All-Stars 3? Because I feel like we've been going real hard in the last two seasons with, like, the judges being, like, former contestants. Like, are those people ever going to want to, like, give up the judge paycheck to go play again?
I can't imagine that the judge paycheck is
that great.
That, well, it's not $250,000.
I guess
plus,
so.
Like, it's fun to compete, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I know it's not your thing.
It's not my, well, I'm not good at things.
But some people just have that drive to, like, compete. It hasn't been that long.
We get it. You're doing a triathlon this summer.
It hasn't been that long since we saw an All-Stars.
No. But just,
so it might be a little while, but I think we'll get there.
Yeah.
I think tomorrow will be there.
Yeah.
I think the first couple of weeks, it was hard to see somebody other than Damar winning.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was just
really killing it.
Yeah, like, there was some point somebody was like, Damar wins everything. So tough to see him go. I really thought he was at least going to be in the final cook, but
yeah.
I think the other three deserve the spots.
Yeah. Great episode, great season so far. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be found on the internet?
Yeah, but not enough to like make it a thing.
Just people find me.
Yeah, yeah. They find you. They find me.
Yeah.
I'm featured a lot on yours.
You are. Well, we have paid for some professional photographs that I would like to get you set up.
Yeah, you called me inactive last week.
Did I?
Social media wise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, when was the last time you posted?
Well, no, forever, but I really like it really resonated with me. And all week I was like, I am inactive.
I mean, you don't have to be active. Like, no, I'm too active.
It was, what, like October the last time?
November 10th.
November 10th.
And yeah. Before that, October 3rd. And before that,
post more. We live.
Wow, you posted twice in 1 week.
Exciting live. Yeah.
Wow, no, 3 times in 1 week because you posted for my birthday too. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, that was a big.
Yeah, I was exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to.
I'll get better. I'll get better. By next season when...
Well, you have a good eye.
I have to pinch hit again. I'll be better and I'll be like, I'd love everyone to follow me,
please. Are you going to come on to talk about Bachelor in Paradise this year with us?
Yep. Me and Amy? Try and keep me off. I've never... Yes, I will.
You've never podcasted with Amy?
No, I've never spoken words to Amy in real life.
My mom took her out for lunch one day. The council side. They went out to lunch together.
And she still didn't get on the podcast.
My mom?
Yeah.
Can you imagine my mom on the podcast?
Yeah. No.
My mom for 8 years. Did you know this past month, I've been podcasting for 8 years?
I did not.
Crazy, eh?
It's crazy.
Longer than we've been together.
Yeah. It's.
I remember having to tell you the first time that I had a podcast about The Bachelor, and I think you thought I was joking.
It's just you hear about podcast hosts and you know they exist, but you never expect you're going to meet one. It's the dream to meet a podcast host.
It was not. You didn't even know what they were before you met me.
Well, you were like ground floor podcast. Probably not, but.
No, I was pretty, pretty early on.
Yeah.
Thanks to Rob, of course. I can have done it on my own.
But. Yeah. I have a handful of podcast hosts that I'd love to meet.
Yeah. Maybe one day. Yep. Anyway. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. If you want to check out what I'm reading, we just got back from the library, actually. You can check out my Bookstagram at The Strong Library. Follow Latanya, LK Starks, follow Kirk Clark at Kirk Clark with 2 C's, one at the beginning, one partway through, of course. Yeah, and we're going to, hopefully the band will all be back together for the finale, but thanks for joining us again, Ethan.
Yes, no problem. Fun. I hope for everybody's sake that the band is back together next week.
Why did you not like doing this?
No, I love it. I feel like the people are coming here for what they've paid for. I feel like sometimes I don't get that. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
happy to be here though.
Yeah. Well, anyway, pack your knives and head on out. Can you believe that Jasper has not bothered us once this entire time? Mm-hmm. All right. Bye.